the assembly to be seated. Good morning, St. John's. I hope that today has greeted you well. And my question for you this morning is, have any of you heard the old adage, failure to plan is planning to fail? Yeah? Yes? That is one of my father's favorite phrases. He is a planner. He has lists upon lists in his head that he uses to check off any project. I was reminded of him and his gift for the planning process while reading our gospel lesson for this morning. And I made a slight tweak to that saying in order to help illustrate our lesson for today. Failure to prepare is preparing to fail. So, I mean, that makes sense, right? You want to be ready to face the day and any challenges that you may encounter. And sometimes our preparations do require modifications. Like, each season we prepare differently for the weather. Sometimes you can get away with a light jacket in the throes of winter, but more often than not, you'll fare better with a heavy coat or a warm sweater. And if you were to go outside in the heat of summer in that warm sweater, you would get sick from being overheated. Or, like these last few weeks when the weather keeps drifting from warm to freezing to cold to almost spring before freezing again, we have to keep an eye on the weather every day in order to properly prepare ourselves. And depending on the situation, you're going to do different things to prepare, right? A child coming home from college for break probably results in different preparations than an elderly parent moving in with you. Preparing to meet a friend for coffee looks very different from getting ready to clean bathrooms. Or at least it should. If your bathroom cleaning routine is the same as meeting for coffee, I do have a few questions for you. As we began to consider last week, we're reminded again today that Advent is a season of preparation. Yes, perhaps Christmas preparations are appearing around your home. Perhaps you stopped by the Christmas bazaar yesterday for delicious treats and a gift for a friend. Maybe you have Christmas music playing at home, or maybe you've started sketching out your travel plans for Christmas Eve. Yes, we tend to be very good at preparations for Christmas, but these are not Advent preparations. John the Baptist leads us this morning to the most important preparation we need to celebrate this season, to prepare our hearts for the kingdom of God. In that understanding, the Gospel of Mark wastes no time in telling us for whom we are preparing our hearts. Jesus the Christ is coming. What a confession of faith! This is not a mere celebrity or royal dignitary. This is not even a dearly beloved family member or long-lost friend. This is God's self, the Son of the Creator, coming to dwell among God's people, to save God's people, and eventually take God's people home to eternal life. Our text for this morning opens with a passage taken from Isaiah. God had promised through the prophet Isaiah that a messenger would come to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. That prophet would come to make roads ready and paths straight. But John the Baptist didn't embark on a public works project in order to prepare for the arrival of Jesus. John wasn't literally building roads and filling in ditches. No, we heard that he went out to the wilderness, living and thriving on locusts and wild honey, unlike almost anyone else. But it wasn't John's clothing or diet that were getting the people ready for Jesus. Mark tells us exactly what John was doing to prepare the hearts of the coming Savior. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's was a washing connected to repentance. Repentance is an important but perhaps often misunderstood component of the believer's life. One of the key assistants in the Reformation, Philip Lengthen, describes repentance in this way. Repentance consists of two parts. One part is contrition, that is, terrors striking the conscience through the knowledge of sin. The other part is faith, which is born of the gospel or the absolution, and believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven. It comforts the conscience, and it delivers it from terror. Then good works are bound to follow, which are the fruit of repentance. What was John doing as he preached in the desert? He was trying to get the people to see the severity of their sin, the danger it posed for their eternal well-being, to install in them a sorrow over that sin, but also a joy in God's forgiveness. The source of God's forgiveness was coming, and soon. And to get his path ready, John proclaimed this message to prepare the hearts of those Jesus would come to save. Truly, this Advent season is preparation in the purest sense. It shouldn't take an odd-looking fellow living in the desert to make you and me realize our need for repentance. Sin infects every part of our being, every thought, word, and action. Our lives continue to be a rebellion against God, but this is why we need this time of preparation. Because what joy is in Christmas if I don't understand my eternal need for the birth of the Savior? Through Advent, we strive to prepare our hearts to identify those places where sin has taken hold of us. And as we find sin, we repent and turn away from it. The way we get ready to celebrate Christmas is the same way John got the people ready for Jesus' arrival. And in fact, it is the same way we get ready for when Jesus is coming again. Without repentance, Christmas is just Santa and presents, or family and religious traditions, devoid of any deeper meaning. But with repentance, with sorrow over our sin, and trust that God has in fact forgiven us through the birth and resurrection of Jesus, we see on Christmas Day the assurance that God loves us, the assurance that God keeps God's promises, the assurance there is abundant hope for and forgiveness for our shortcomings. It's the same hope John's baptisms brought. After all, John baptized for the repentance and forgiveness of sins. That certainty of forgiveness depended on God's promises to send their Savior. The certainty of our forgiveness depends on that same promise, now fulfilled, that our Savior has come, lived, died, and risen for us. And right here, right now, Jesus is active in his word, sending the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith in him as our eternal Savior. Here this morning, we are assured that the faith he gives, which is paired with our repentance, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is not misplaced. As you continue to strengthen your hearts during this Advent season, stay focused on your Savior and the blessings God provides. Ask the Spirit to help you see and turn away from your own sin. And know that there is no doubt. Guilt does not lead to despair. Your sins have truly been forgiven by the one who has promised and has come. Jesus lived and died to save you. Keep your focus on him. the one who was to come and who will return. For then your heart will truly be prepared. Amen.